Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to orient us as to where we are and what we're doing here. So let's begin with a prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this assembly, thanking you for the freedom we enjoy to worship as we see fit. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to test ourselves to be in the Spirit and just to worship you. We pray that all that we do will be glorifying to you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin with at the back of the hymnal is a hymn, Let Pharisees of High Esteem. It's number 4 in the very back of your hymnal. Number 4. Do you not have it, or does everybody have it? Okay, hymn number 4. You got it? 5 verses. Okay. Do what? They've all been taken out. Okay, let Pharisees of high esteem, let's stand and sing together. All together now.
Let Pharisees of high esteem their faith and zeal declare. All their religion is a dream if love be once declared.
Let's talk about prayer, and let's see, we'll begin at the beginning, and that's with Tish. How's Tish doing?
Doing good.
Very good. Any change in the...
I haven't asked her in the last week.
Okay. We'll just continue to be in prayer that there'll be noticeable change, and continue to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And see, we'll need our prayers for the whole Hess family, as a matter of fact. And be in prayer for Sharon, a lady that Judith and I know dying of cancer. And I have a special request in a moment, but any requests that I have omitted? Yes, son.
No, but we have an answer to prayer 8 years back.
Oh, wow. Very good. I like answered prayer. Good. Any other prayer requests? Okay, I'd like you to be in prayer for, as Ronnie. Every time I travel somewhere, I spend time in prayer that maybe run into someone or persons who might respond to the gospel or at least give the opportunity. And nothing happened on the flight there, and nothing happened while we were there. And I'm thinking, well, it's about over. Mm-hmm. And coming home, Judith sat next to this guy who teaches structural engineering at the University of North Texas. And they started talking, and he asked me about the Universal Church, if I knew about that, and I said yes. He's in a search. So we gave him one of the black books and a card, told him about how he can get on the internet. And Judith just did a great job going through the gospel, going through aspects of the gospel. Please be in prayer. The Holy Spirit will convict Ronnie. And he was a very enjoyable young man. And so just be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will take the words that Judith gave to him and that he'll respond to the gospel. Be absolutely wonderful if that would happen. So no other prayer requests? Okay, we have a very important announcement to make about food. So going to have Terry give us a message.
Sure. As you guys know, I don't know if you do know, but we're doing a winter camp for the kids, for our youth, and it's the youth equipped for service. We're teaching them to serve better.
Now, is that winter camp? Is that going to be in Cancun?
Oh, we didn't know.
No.
But this is for 13 and older. These kids have been to camp and have been observed, and they've all shared an interest in this. But on our end, Tulsa's been doing fundraisers, and we need to do a fundraiser to earn some money to get the kids to camp and pay for the camp. And we're going to do a luncheon on the 24th after church. We're providing lunch. We're not asking anybody to purchase tickets or anything. What we would like to do is take donations for the lunch.
If you give a dollar, you get bread with butter.
Well, we're going to be chili and all the fixings, and the kids will be serving.
Is that the 24th of this month?
Yes, the 24th of this month, and the kids will be doing the serving.
Oh, wow.
So they're providing lunch. So we're hoping we can get more kids to do this, but it's mainly we're going to pull in some of the kids that are coming from the local area, hopefully, too. But we're still getting a count on how many are coming. So.
Just so I'm clear, you're asking for donations for us to help provide the fixings for the chili?
No, it is. We're going to provide the lunch, and we're asking for donations for the lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of, charging
for the camp
ticket.
For the camp.
Yeah.
Donations for camp.
Yeah.
For the camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a fundraiser. They do it in Tulsa often, and they said it works pretty well.
So we're eating?
Yeah, we're
the kids are eating.
We're eating.
No, the adults. The kids aren't only fixing it.
And then
the adults will fix it. Don't worry about it. Very handy. We're just inviting people to stay. Donate if you want to. You don't have to, but it would be very helpful.
I'll donate $50 for every bowl I eat, so it better be good.
Okay. We might hold you to that.
Well, that's good. Okay. Any other? Okay. All right. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined, first of all, as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior by faith alone in Christ alone. But not only that, one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So it's for those who really know how to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit in regard to giving. It's a great deal amount of giving done throughout church history. And there's going to be a lot of disappointment at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, but look at all that money I gave. Look at this. And I gave sacrificially. I gave abundantly. And it's going to be wood, hay, and stub. So whether you give a dollar or $1 million, we'll take the million even if you're not in fellowship. But prefer that you be in the power of the Spirit. And so let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, that you have used this assembly over the years. And we pray that you will continue to use this assembly in the year of 2010, spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer, missionary outreach, working with our children, our assembly right here. Father, we value the freedom that we enjoy in this country. We appreciate the political, economic freedoms that we have. We're very thankful for the military who provides us with this freedom. But Father, we're so appreciative for the freedom we have in Christ, wherewith we have been set free through His work on the cross, the subsequent resurrection. We pray, Father, that you will receive the offerings that we now give and will continue to use them for this assembly. In Christ's name, amen. One of the joys being a pastor over 30 years, watching children grow up, and it has just been such a wonderful blessing in my life and in this church's history to have Romeo and his family and just watch Hazel grow up. But right before my eyes, she became a woman, and Hazel's now engaged to get married. So. Oh, that's good, Romeo. Romeo, you're like the dad at a wedding, and the bride and the groom are standing up here, and the father gave away the bride, and he turned over around to the groom, reached in his pocket, and says, "All her bills are now yours." So, my only crayon, I haven't talked with her about where she's going to worship. Boy, if we lose you, I'm going to really not be liking marriage very much. Man alive. Okay. I know. Okay.
Where he is and who he is.
Yes. Well, we all hear about him. We never see him. Yeah. We don't know who he is. Okay, we want to get right into our work. I want to finish up total depravity this morning. And we have several things that we need to do in the study of total depravity. So let's prepare ourselves for the study and close out this study, which I've just really enjoyed and learned and been edified in studying of it. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God you are. If it were not for the God you are, Father, there'd be no hope for us. We would be not unlike any other unbeliever, any person under total depravity. But in your grace, your mercy, and your love, you have found all the solutions to our total depraved state in which we entered into the human race. Pray, Father, now your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. We close out the study. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Judith and I, when we were down in Cancun, we took a day and went to the Mayan ruins. And, of course, the calendar isn't there, but went to this group of people. And it's just amazing how man just, you can't believe all the attention given to these people. And people, we're talking demonic. We're talking totally demonic. That pyramid looking structure that they have just for sacrifice. That's all that this is for. They have a big area, and the whole entire area is only used every now and then when they come in for their religious festivities. They have a sporting event where something like I think it was about 27 feet high, a big ring and two walls, and the men came out, and they're sharp men, and they came out with just, you could hit this 8-pound ball with only your elbow or your hip, and you try to get it through there, and the winner gets sacrificed. And so I don't know what the incentive is to win, but and they the priest will go around into the various villages and look for little girls, like maybe 5 years old, and the parents love this because it's such an honor. And they take the little girl and they put her into the convent area so that they'll make sure she's a virgin, and when she's 15, and she can be sacrificed. And I mean, it's just such unbelievable heathenism that you can ever imagine. And yet the world, oh, look how much they knew, and look at this. You think about, you look at the moon and the sun and the stars enough, you'll figure out some things. But even 1,000 years after Christ, they still didn't know what a wheel was. I mean, they came up with nothing contributing to, oh, they were brilliant people. They weren't brilliant. They contributed nothing to society, even their own society. I mean, they were able to build this construction that I've seen children build with building blocks, and they were able to do that okay, and they did have the 365 days a year and all of that type of thing, but as far as a wheel or medicine or anything that would help them in society, nothing. Nothing at all. It just, but you got to see, when you go, you see total depravity. And it's just its finest hour. It's just unbelievable how people lived the way they did. And so let's go through for the last time here. Total depravity and the grace of God. Understanding why the gospel. Why God even gave us the gospel. Roman numeral 1, man was created in the image of God. And we took it up in Genesis. Question is, Wes? Well, let me see if I can push start. What a green light came on. Let it warm up here. There you go, something warming up. At 7. You're having a technical difficulty. There it is. Okay. All right, Roman numeral 1, we looked at man is created in the image of God. How could that which is created in the image of God come under total depravity? Roman numeral 2, the effect of sin on the earth in the prehistoric world in Genesis 1 between verses 1 and 2. Roman numeral 3, we looked at total depravity of man, man's fall into total depravity, Genesis 2:17. How did that creature created in the image of God come under total depravity? Or how sin changes the very structure of our makeup? Roman numeral 4, the effect of total depravity on man. And there we studied the five aspects of the soul. He is under continually being corrupted, totally depraved, wounded, insane, full of evil, full of deceit. So we looked at those. Roman numeral 5, other effects of total depravity, and we looked back over Romans, a portion of Romans 3, where it just listed all of those things. Roman numeral 6, the effect of total depravity on the inner relationships of humans. In other words, the way we deal with one another is affected by total depravity. Roman numeral 7, the effect of total depravity on the earth. Adam and Eve did not adversely affect the earth themselves. They did not cause the change in global warming and all these things. It was the total depravity of the sin that caused all of that. And we looked at various passages in that respect. Roman numeral 8, God's solution to total depravity. And the next several major points will deal with God's dealing with this. One, we're introduced with 5 points, and there's a summary of them. 2, we have the problem of the free will. Did man have free will? Did man lose free will? That kind of an issue. Then we looked at God graciously gave 2 essentials. Whether man lost his free will at total depravity or didn't, whichever side you want to take, doesn't bother me. Because what God did was to graciously give 2 essentials. First of all, God gave faith to every member of the human race. Every member of the human race has faith. And 2, God gave the object of faith. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16. This man we met on the plane last night said to Judith, well, don't you believe that kind of everybody has it right? They just be good and work for God. And she just, I was sitting there praying, but I heard her say that Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. And how it's all-inclusive, it's exclusive to those who believe in Jesus Christ, all-inclusive, to because the gospel is open to everyone. So what did God do to solve all these problems? All right, 4.4. First and foremost, God did not make us a better person. He did not try to improve that person that was under total depravity. Most people under religious work try to work and be good for God, that type of thing. So God does not make us a better person. God starts all over. First, God kills the old self. We are crucified with Christ. 2, then God raises us up a new creation. There are various passages. Then God gives us a new birth. We are born again and born from above. Both descriptions are used in John 3. It is born again, or born from above, actually. And then later it's born again. We are born again, 1 Peter, born from above, in John 3:16. Noting our heavenly citizenship in Philippians. Then Roman numeral 9, God solved the problem of total depravity with the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is where we left off 2 or 3 weeks ago. So let's pick it up at that point, how God solved the problem through His Son. First of all, remember God's solution was to kill the old nature. And the issue is we die in Christ. And we took up various passages of Scripture, Romans 6:4-8, 2 Corinthians 5:14, 2 Timothy 2:11. 2, we are crucified with Christ, the only crucifixion that counts. Romans 6:6, Galatians 2:20, 5:24. 3, God killed us in total depravity. We died in Christ, Romans 6:8, 2 Timothy 2:11, and 2 Corinthians 5:14. God killed our total depraved nature with Christ and raised us up in Christ, Colossians 2:12, Colossians 3:1. 5, in total depravity we died, made alive in Christ, Romans 6:11, 1 Corinthians 5:15-22, Ephesians 2:5, we live in Christ, 1 John 4:9. 6, we saw how God created mankind, then mankind sinned and fell, but in Christ we are new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ. Our new nature created in Christ. 7, total depravity results in eternal death. In Christ, eternal life. Romans 5:21, 6:23, 1 Timothy 1:16, 2 Timothy 1:10, Jude 21. 8, we now exist in Christ. Acts 17:28, 1 Corinthians 8:6. 9, in Christ is life. Gospel of John 20:31, Colossians 3:3-4, 2 Timothy 1:1. The newness of life is talked about in Romans 6:4. We begin this morning with point 10. We have seen that under total depravity, there is condemnation. Under total depravity, condemnation, Romans 1-4. But in Christ, there is no condemnation. Let's look at the very important passage, Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. By the way that we're born from the womb, total depraved, condemnation. In Christ, no condemnation. Look at 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. 11. Under total depravity, anything we do is not. Before God. Only in Christ. What I'm showing you here is how important Christ is to the solution to the way we're born into the world. How vital He is. We are approved before God in Christ. Write down and then let's look at Romans 16:10. Romans 16:10. Romans 16:10, greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are all of the household of Aristobulus, but we're approved in Christ. Well, in total depravity, condemnation. In Christ, salvation. In Christ, salvation. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. We're having a problem. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God has not destined us for wrath. Remember in Romans 1 through 4, this is the great issue, wrath and getting, escaping wrath, coming under wrath. All right, has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful verse in leading someone to Christ. We're talking about salvation. What is salvation? Here it is. Salvation is in Christ. Let's look at this one at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 10. 2 Timothy 2:10. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. So under total depravity, we have total condemnation, eternal condemnation in Christ, eternal salvation, eternal glory. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give to you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Just over and over, so many different ways of looking at how our salvation is in by faith in Christ alone, never related to any kind of works that even so many religious organizations under the umbrella of Christianity try to claim. All right, point 13. While in total depravity, all mankind is profaned, unclean before God, defiled and corrupt. But in Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, are we sanctified before God. We're sanctified before God in Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Sanctified in Christ. Point 14. Forgiveness. Under total depravity, we need forgiveness. Forgiveness is found in Christ. Forgiveness is found in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Now, forgiveness is for every member of the human race. Even under total depravity, while still totally depraved, we're totally forgiven in Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 14. Let's begin with the beginning of the sentence in verse 13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all transgressions. Having Colossians chapter 1. Oh, I'm in chapter 2. Excuse me. Let's go to Colossians 1:14. That was a good passage I was reading, though. All right. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's rather simple and states it very clearly. All right. 15. All these are reality in total depravity. creature by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in the total depravity, being born into the world, we come under all these condemnations. We escape all of them by being a new creature by faith in Christ. Let me show you what I mean. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20. Verse 21. Verse 21 of Acts 20. Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks, in other words, all members of the human race, of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Simply by faith, we change all the conditions of total depravity. Let's look at Acts 24:24. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 3, our passage that we'll be back into next Sunday morning. Romans 3. Romans 3:22. Quite frankly, I'm sorry, the total depravity went into 2010. Because somebody's going, well, it took him 4 years, and 3 years, whatever. All right, here it is. Romans, let's take a look at Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. That is, no distinction between Jew and Gentile. No distinction whatsoever between them. Galatians 2:16. These are wonderful passages just dealing with the faith issue and works. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, well, it begins in verse 15. We are Jews by nature, by physical birth, but not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ. Boy, how many times does he have to say it in one little sentence? My goodness. Be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's a powerful sentence, just putting it in so many different ways and times. Look at Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, for the sake of time, you can look at Philippians 3:9, Colossians 1:4, 2 Timothy 3:15. Point 16, the love of God in Christ. Outside of Christ, God does love us so that he sent his own Son. But as far as a love that has an impact and an effect, it's in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Romans 8:39. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 17. Grace to those of us in total depravity is found in Jesus Christ. Under total depravity, grace comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Gospel of John 1:17. just how important Jesus Christ is to our life, to our salvation, to our daily lives. We're studying on Wednesday night how we abide in Him, bear fruit in Him. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. This is where grace begins, is in Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always concerning you. And by the way, just for the record, I did this daily. My wife and I did this daily, is pray for each of you while we were away. This is just something that comes to the pastor that he should do and does because he wants to. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 6. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Let's look at Ephesians 2, 7. Next book over. Ephesians 2:7. In order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For the sake of time, you can also look at 1 Thessalonians 5:28, 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, now we come to the closing part of our study. Okay, point nine, recovery from total depravity. God solved the problem of total depravity in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ is the solution to total depravity, I'm assuming I didn't do this 10. No, I didn't. So, let's... The way we've been doing it and the way it should be done, point 9 is recovery from total depravity. Roman numeral 9, recovery from total depravity. The gospel of grace by faith in Jesus Christ. This is how we recover from total depravity. This is the means by which we are restored from total depravity. Point 11. Point 11. After total depravity. Now we've gone through how to come out, how total depravity came about, effects of total depravity on us and on earth and on our relationship with each other. We come out of it by faith in Jesus Christ. Now let's look at what happens after total depravity. 1. Intimacy with God. We now can have intimacy with God, which we could not have under total depravity. This was lost by Adam and Eve in the garden. And under total depravity, man lost the ability of fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But after total depravity, after faith in Jesus Christ, being reborn, restored, made a new creature, we can now once again have fellowship with all three members of the Godhead. This is clearly seen. I don't think I have this on here. Nope. This is can be clearly seen in the Gospel of John 14. Let's look at the Gospel of John chapter 14. The Gospel of John 14. Let's look verses 16 through 21. Now, we just studied this on Wednesday night, but let's read it now. And I will ask the Father, and He will... This is once He's been crucified in the morning from the time which He gave this, and buried by 6 o'clock that Wednesday evening, and then it was buried and then rose again on Sunday morning, and then ascended to the heaven, and this is one of the first things He did when He got to heaven. I will ask the Father... He will give you another parakletos. A parakletos, we translated helper. I don't like that because it gives the idea like I do my part and you help me. And God does His part and I help Him. So help me push my car, this kind of thing. And that's a wrong connotation. This means He does everything for us. So another parakletos. And another, it's another of the same kind as Jesus Christ Himself. Referring, of course, to the Holy Spirit, just like Him, that He may be with you forever. Verse 17 now. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. That is, the Holy Spirit abides with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Now you got to understand the time in which this was written. Today we have orphanages and people going to... Or orphan at this time was a horrible place to be. You were just cast out on the street and to be taken at will. So this is, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So we have us and the Father, I and you, you and me, relationships. Verse 21, He who has my commandments... faith and love, and keeps them, continue walking by faith and loving as Christ loved, He it is who also loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. It's very important. We disclose ourselves to people, but this is talking about really just opening up who and what you are. Mostly it happens to men. Men build this wall, and even though they're married, nobody really gets to know them. There's something about macho or whatever it is. But this is opening up your soul. I hate to use a base illustration of this, but even a prostitute who will give her body away, you'll never know her. Most of them won't even kiss you. It's just, you're not going to, you can have my body, but not me. This is something that happens when you get to trust someone, love someone, and they love, and they have this inner relationship, you open up about yourself. You have nothing to hide. Most of us do not open up ourselves. If they knew this about me, they would not love me. But when you know that person's love is unconditional, you're totally relaxed. And you're not afraid for them to know all about you. So this is what is going on with this great passage. I and you, you and me. All right, so first of all, intimacy with God that we lost under total depravity. Two, confidence of no condemnation. We have the confidence of no condemnation. Romans chapter 1, 8 verse 1 that we read. Also Romans 5, 16. Let's look at Romans 5:16. We didn't look at that. We looked at Romans 8:1, but not Romans 5:16. Romans 5:16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. So, after total depravity, we have no fear of any condemnation. I don't care what you do. I really don't. And neither does God, in the sense that it has already been paid for on the cross. When a believer walks around with guilt, we walk around with shame, people were slapping Christ in the face. You're depriving yourself of that relationship you have with Him. That's what we had under total depravity. But under total depravity, probably none of us ever even cared about it. Didn't give it a second thought. Then when we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, we went, oh man, think of all the things that I've done. And we have no right to any shame, any guilt, that we even, no matter what we did in under total depravity. All those things are taken care of. They're washed away by the work of Christ on the cross. Either we believe it or we don't. Yeah, but not this. Well, then you don't believe that He took care of everything on the cross. Either did or He didn't. So under the result, after total depravity, we have confidence and joy of no condemnation, no fear. Under total depravity, we have fear of condemnation from God. Let's take a few passages. I don't have time to go through all the passages that I have left for us to look at. But Romans 1:18. Now let's do look at Romans 1:18. It should come to mind. Hasn't been that long ago. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So we have the fear of condemnation from God under total depravity, but not after total depravity. Let's look at Romans 2:5. Romans 2:5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Look at Romans 3:5. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what can we say then? That God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous, is He? I'm speaking in human terms. And then you can also look at Romans chapter... Well, let's just turn to Romans 4:15. It's not that far away. Romans 4:15. For the law brings about wrath, but there is no law, neither is there violation. This is in the person of Christ when we come back to that study. So, under total depravity, fear of condemnation. After total depravity, you're not entitled to any fear of condemnation, people. You have no right to that. No shame. But I had an abortion, and I had it as a Christian. No shame. Not in Christ, people. There isn't any. We have no right to that. 3, no fear of the future. No fear of the future. We don't have to worry what's going to happen to me after I die, what's going to happen in eternity. We are confident of the future, of our place with Jesus Christ. Look at Gospel of John 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. This is a well-read passage at funerals of believers. 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. This to me is so beautiful. You ever want to see spiritual love in action? What does spiritual love look like? Christ is going to die in the morning, and yet He is sensitive to what's going on in the soul of these men. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. Hey, your heart ought to be a little bit in trouble. You're getting ready to be beat up, spit upon, judged, and crucified. And yet spiritual love looks at what's going on with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your family, with your friends. And you see a troubled heart. This to me is one of the most beautiful demonstrations all through the Upper Room Discourse. is spiritual love in action. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. These are unbelievably comfortable words. As we live through our life, and I know that when you start getting as old as Jim, you start thinking about these things. And it's really a comfort to know exactly what's going to happen, where you're going to be. And so we have no fear. After total depravity, we have no fear of the future. Under total depravity, we have fear of the future. We hold on to this world. Hold on to the possessions of this world. Hold on to the things of this world. Try to hold on to our physical health in this world. Under total depravity, we come up with all kinds of weird stuff. All kinds of weird things. Reincarnation. Well, everybody's going to go to heaven. Just all kinds of unbelievable things we just come up with to try to calm us down. Because we know something's coming up after this life. So under total depravity, we have in this world, we try to find answer in politics, worldly solutions, in our government, in taking care of us and all these things. But in Jesus Christ, people, we have no fear of the future. We have absolute confidence what's going to happen after we die. We now live for our expectations of Jesus Christ's return. This is how we live. We live, He's coming. He's coming one day. And we know that. We believe. We find a peace in that. That He is going to come. So we have all these wonderful things of the future. Four, after total depravity, new relationship with the Scripture. A new relationship with the Word of God. Because we are now a new spiritual creature. We now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can actually love the Word of God and learn and understand. We can understand this book. The unbeliever cannot understand it. We couldn't understand it under total depravity. We could study it. Men who are geniuses study this book who don't even see the gospel of salvation in it. But boy, once you have come through that, and once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you just have a wonderful love relationship with this book. You see the wonders in it. You see all the prophecies in it. You see the prophecies that have been fulfilled, prophecies yet to come. You see all the teachings on how to deal with life, spiritual love, forgiveness, all the wonderful things that we have in regard to life. Yet you go into a bookstore and there are just thousands of books on how to improve your life, how to be happy, how to succeed, and how to do this. It's all right here in this book. And when you come out of total depravity, you just have a wonderful relationship with this book. Five, we can now pray. We're restored out from total depravity. We can now pray. This is something we cannot do under total depravity, save except for the belief in Christ. But now we have the wonderful privilege that we're no longer under total depravity of prayer. And boy, it is my prayer that I've done at least that job as your pastor, the importance of prayer, the power in it. How important it is to be in prayer. We can have that relationship with God. Total depravity, we don't have it. Six, we can now serve to the glory of God. Under total depravity, we could not have the intimacy with members of the Godhead. We could not understand His Word, but we could not serve Him either. But now we can actually serve as a new spiritual creation. We can now serve Him. And I don't want to spend time this morning. We've got to move on. But think about how important this aspect is. What's one of the common things of all the religions under the Christian umbrella and all the religions outside of the Christian umbrella? It's how you live. Serving one another. You give, you do this, you do that, you be good. Got to be good. As Judith was talking to this man on the plane, I'd hear him keep, she'd give him the, and he'd come back. Well, is it really, you just got to be good. I bet about five times he wanted to defend that position. You got to be good. And we it's something innate in us. We do want to do that. But people, we can't serve him. But after total depravity, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually serve him now. It's a privilege. It's an honor of being out from under the condition of total depravity. We can now love him and we can serve him, bear fruit. We're studying right now in John 15. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 a moment. Powerful verse in this subject. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, let's look together at verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we, born-again believers, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we are, status quo, His, God the Father, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now, we've already studied how this is one of the solutions to total depravity, being created new in Christ. Look what it says. Being created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. It's a wonderful thing that we cannot do as unbelievers. As unbelievers, it's in the flesh, and we're trying to work for Him, trying to do for Him, trying to give money, trying to be good, trying to do these things. But after total depravity, created new creatures in Christ. Why did He create us new creatures in Christ? One, to solve the problem of total depravity. Created in Christ Jesus for the very purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's look at Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. And put on the new self. Okay, this is what we saw, one of the solutions to total depravity, the new man. Put on the new self. How do you put on the new self? By faith in the Spirit. That's how you put on the new self. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Matthew 5:16. I'm just going to talk about it. Matthew 5:16, glorify your Father. Matthew 5:16, glorify your Father. Look at John 15. This is beautiful, coming up in our study, like probably this week. John 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. By this, by abiding in Christ, production in Christ, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is one of the wonderful things that comes out of total depravity. Total depravity, people work and work and work to be saved and be good. It ain't going to happen. But now that you're out of total depravity, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can produce the works that will glorify the Father, like, for an example, spiritual love. Letting the Holy Spirit just pour His love in is glorifying to the Father. And while we can we now do all these good works, under total depravity we could do nothing, but now we can do these things under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life, day in and day out life, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Not in the Son of God, but faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So, and you can also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And the very end of our study, the seventh result after total depravity, we can now suffer for Jesus Christ. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29. Philippians 1:29. For you, the born-again believer, it has been granted graciously. It has been granted for Christ's benefit, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him, for His sake, for His benefit. Under total depravity, we could not suffer for His benefit. As new created beings in Christ, walking in the power of the Spirit, now it be our privilege to suffer for Him. One of the field deals and historical marks of American history is that there's not been that much suffering for Christ. America was founded on suffering for Christ. Men who knew the truth came over here, presented the gospel, were burned, killed, skinned alive by hostile natives, demonic people. And that lasted for a little while. But the darkness of this continent became light. There hasn't been too much suffering for Jesus in our society, in our lifetime, the history of this country. But now it's getting darker. It's getting darker in America. We once were dark. We had the light of Christ, the light of the gospel. And now we're getting dark again. It may come about. And we have to suffer for Him. I don't know if you're ready for that or not. That's something every individual has to decide. We've been studying in the study of Revelation on Tuesday night. The tribulation is just 7 years of unbelievable suffering. Believer suffering for Christ. If you're known to be a Christian, you would suffer for Jesus Christ. Have to have the understanding it's to our benefit. We have that gracious benefit to suffer for Him. This is the imitation. Just close with this. This is the imitation that Satan has done. See, we were at the main ruins, and the winner of the contest, the loser of the contest, got to take a knife and cut off the winner's head. And that was an honor. That was an honor. He was suffering for their God. Little girls offered as sacrifices, virgins. That was an honor. It was an honor to have your daughter taken away and protected and confined in this convent so she'd have no contact with men and be a virgin at 15. It was an honor. Satan has copied these aspects of the Word. But it's not an honor for us to offer sacrifices and this type of demonic stuff. But it is granted to some to suffer for Him. And it may be some of us in our age before we leave this world that we might have to suffer. There are people, even in America, namely Jews, who if they believe in this Jesus as the Messiah, they are disowned by their family. They're written out. Their pictures are taken out of all of their photo books. You no longer exist. You no longer are. That's a form of suffering. But they made that decision. But as far as Gentiles believing in Christ, it hasn't been too much of suffering. But it may be. And you're going to have to make up your mind. Is this going to be what my life's about? And people will tell you something. If He's not worth you living for, He's not going to be worth you dying for. Do you understand that? If He's not worth you living day in and day out for Him, it certainly isn't going to be worth it to you to die for Him. We got to be ready for that aspect by how we live each day, how important He is to us. And I devoted a whole section of total depravity on how total depravity is resolved in Jesus Christ for this very point, so that we can appreciate Him every day. Take out one of those things and just thank Him for that day. Understand how important He is to you day in and day out. And then if it's called upon you to die, you will. It's like a mother, even a dad. You love your child day in and day out, and the house is burning or something, you don't think twice. You don't think twice. Giving up part of your body for them, you don't think twice. It's how important they are to you in life. They're not important to you in life. They will not be important to you in death. Suffering for Jesus Christ and being ready for that, if that does come upon us, is dependent upon how you live for Him day in and day out. So this completes our study of total depravity. Any questions? I'm now an expert. Just kidding. So, okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God You are. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that You have found the grace solution to the way that we were born. Sometimes, if we've been Christians for many years of our life, we forget some of these wonderful beginning things of grace. How valuable You are, Father. But Father, we pray now that You take the things that we've been studying now in total depravity, let them sink into this concrete of our soul foundation, and then start bearing fruit in our lives. That it becomes essential to us to live for Christ, and it would only be a joy to die for Him. Father, we praise You in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing before you leave. Yeah.
I have a closer for the event listeners. We didn't have Bible study yesterday, so on behalf of my wife, Hazel, and my family, I belated happy birthday.
Oh, you're very wonderful, Romeo. Thank you, my friend. I didn't know you were going to do that. Okay. Let me... Let's stand and sing 191. 191.